Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace.
I'm your host, Sabine M., and in today's episode, I'm speaking with Oliver Lehmann. Oliver is General Manager at Mindspace.
Hi everyone, today I'm talking to Oliver Lehmann and I'm quite excited about this because he is general manager for a co-working space in Germany that's called Mindspace. And if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that a couple of my guests actually mentioned that co-working is an interesting option for them and they'd like to know more about it. So that's why Oliver's here. Hi Oliver, thanks for joining.
Hi Sabine.
I would just start with asking you, what do you do at Mindspace?
Yeah, so I'm working as general manager for Mindspace here in Germany, leading with my team thousands of square meters, I would say in a pretty successful way, with different locations in Hamburg, in Berlin, Munich, and Frankfurt. Doing this now since a couple of years, since 5 years now here in Germany for some of the buildings, being responsible here for the whole P&L and for the business.
What's your professional background? How did you come to that co-working realm?
It was a long way at the end. I think like to come to the co-working, I worked for different like tech companies, American tech companies, and also like for Rocket Internet. And the last couple of years for a company called Wimdu, then Nespic joined then a design company called House. But over the years, I was also able then to develop into this interesting field. I think it also helped me because my career started in real estate, but residential real estate, where I worked for more than 5 years. And I was quite excited then that I ended up in the flex space industry, which I think is a pretty interesting industry.
Definitely. And we'll tap into that more. And I mentioned you do have locations, I'd say, in the major German cities.
Correct.
What's the strategy behind that? And within those cities, do you go for certain preferred locations?
In general, overall, we have 31 locations for Mindspace and have 8 thereof in Germany. So we have 3 in Berlin as of right now. We have 1 in Frankfurt, 1 in Hamburg, and 3 locations in Munich. I think what we are looking for always and what we are staying for is like this AAA locations. So that's like pretty important for us. What we mean by that is that we really look into how far, for example, a location is away from the next underground, overground, or public transportation. And we don't want to be more than 3 minutes away from that. So we are looking also to expand the business right now. Also like keeping the business stable, of course. That's like the most, I think, like important one. But besides that, looking right now to also into new locations across Germany where we can potentially open a new Mindspace.
A topic that's discussed currently in terms of the future of work discussions is if companies should go for a hub and club approach, meaning that they would have a hub, like their headquarters location. And I think typically that would still be a central location, not necessarily AAA, but certainly CBD. And their clubs being more suburban, and they're possibly looking into flexible options. So is this something that you think you might investigate on, providing spaces in more suburban or more non-central locations looking at the future?
It's nothing what we are planning right now, because what we see is that our members and also the member companies, that they are desiring like this central locations to keep it more easy, also to be more accessible. If it's suburban, it's always interesting, but it's also another business model because you always will approach only like a small amount of people, rather than if you are in a city and like in a city center, you always will approach a bigger like group of people at the same time.
Who are your typical clients then?
So it's like it really depends also on our buildings what we have. So it isn't just like always the same kind of customers what we have, but we have corporates, enterprises, so super big companies who are with us also since years, but also the small medium companies with us and also the startups. I think this mixture is also the interesting one, that companies really can learn from each other. So it's not just like it's a company where you can only find startups, or it's a company which is only corporate and they're only like the huge firms all across the world. It's like this mixture. And I think that's also the beauty of FlexSpace, that a corporate can learn from a startup, but also the way around, startup can learn from the corporate. You see like this interaction happen on a day-to-day base. And that's like, so we have around 90% of our portfolio in general is FlexSpace. And only 10% is open space one, which other people would call the traditional co-working space.
Huh. So from my understanding, that you said 90% flex space, that means it's enclosed offices for different entities.
Correct.
And then 10% is where I as a visitor could drop down as well and just work away for a day.
Correct. So we have like 90% is like private offices. That's also our portfolio globally. Like just the communal areas, open space is 10%.
Yeah, makes sense. And then besides the very clear AAA and 3 minute away from the infrastructure, are there other criteria that you look at to decide for the right locations?
I think the biggest challenge in the beginning is first of all to find these locations, these AAA locations, because they're also rare. It's not that they are like getting built new day by day. So for us, it's like this AAA. It is like this accessibility for public transportation to keep it easy for the members and the people to come into Mindspace, and also the surroundings. So we also want to make sure that people can find outside the office what they need. If it's a supermarket, if it's a restaurant, which is difficult right now to go into, but still like having like a supermarket or like a bakeries or whatever around where people can also grab their lunch. It's also important for us.
I guess I know the answer to my next questions, at least for halfway, which would have been, what are the biggest challenges you're typically facing? So one would be probably to find the right location. And then also I can imagine if it's a prime location to negotiate the right terms.
Correct. So what we see right now is that the demand, there is a high demand for flexible office space, but also the way we are renting right now, like went away from the traditional lease into the way of a partnership agreement or a hybrid lease. And I think that makes it a little bit more tricky, not really difficult, but the last couple of years we see that more and more of the landlords are becoming open to that and listening also to that, the possibility of renting via a partnership agreement. We see this since years in the hospitality sector. It's quite normal to rent space via partnership or a management agreement. And that's our criteria. What we have right now, other co-working providers, flex office providers are going into the same way right now and renting their space via partnership agreements. And we have the same, we have buildings already under management agreement, for example, Hammersmith in London, but also Philadelphia, which we just recently opened, Vitania, Israel, for example, they're just like a few to mention some of them.
That means you do share kind of the risk and the profits with the landlord, if I understand.
Correct.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're not renting short stints. So it's not like a pop-up that you're having until a new use comes for that building, but it's designed to be for a longer time span.
No, we still like sign for like a long-term partnership with these landlords. Correct.
It's very interesting because the talk now with office demand being not established, and the question for corporate real estate being, how can they be more agile in their portfolios? Because many of them have long leases, because you have landlords originally who are not open to that. And you can't necessarily, with a big corporation, participate somehow in a partnership agreement. So it's an interesting model to have a look at. Another question that you are probably a role model for is, how do you design for experience? And you mentioned before that the beauty of the co-working is that you have that corporate alongside the startup, but you must most likely in the community areas have certain things that bring that spark and social interaction. How do you do that?
Interesting question. I think what we do is like we really redefine the workplace experience for companies, but for companies of all sizes. So for us, it's important to not just attract enterprises or corporates or just attract startups. We want to like approach everyone and make this flex space also accessible. And therefore, like our spaces, and they're like super beautiful, I would say, what we have in Mindspace, they have a super personalized level, first of all, on services. So that's super important for us. We really want to deliver a 5-star plus service, which is part also of this co-working and flex space experience. We have carefully curated events in our buildings, which also foster like the enhanced employee engagement, and also a strong sense of community accommodating the way people work. But it's also at the end all about the design, and you need to make sure that it's an agile design, but it's also a design where people feel home. No one wants to work in a boring office. I think there's no need right now to go back to a boring office. Everyone is looking for something special. And that's why design is super important for us throughout all our buildings. If you come into a Mindspace, you will see that no matter in which Mindspace building you go in the world, you will always find something where you feel like, oh, that looks like a Mindspace. We call ourselves boutique co-working provider or boutique flex provider because we really take care of this design. We invest a lot of money in the build out before we open any location. And our team, our project team and our design team working hard on this to always make sure that the buildings feel like absolutely stunning.
And does that go for the private space as well? Do you build them out, including the furniture, or would the tenants bring that?
That depends also on the needs of the customers. So what we do is we provide the settings for whatever they need. If it's a table, if it's a chair, if it's, I don't know, a roll container or whatever they would need, or a hanger, like a setup for a meeting room, this will all be there. If there's like specific needs, we have companies who also wants to have their corporate identity within the buildings or within the offices, then we also make this happen. We have, I always say, like kind of this plug and play model. So it's easy for us to combine offices, to change offices in the way how they are shaped. So we always make it in the way, or we make it happen in the way how the members or how the companies at the end really looking for. Because at the end, they need to feel home, they need to feel comfortable. And for the companies, it's super important. That's what we also see with our customers, that for them, it's really important to make sure that their employees are feeling home, that they really have the feeling, I would like to come to the office because I really like to be here. And that's then always part of the design.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that you mentioned, home, and you coming from the residential side of things as well. And I've heard a couple of things that are drawn from the hospitality sector as well. Would you say that's something that has changed throughout 2020 in the expectation?
I think overall, I think in every crisis or recession, people usually tend to outsource services. No matter which services they are. And we will believe also that this will continue to happen now, given like the pandemic we are in this moment. And as a result, like the demand for flexible office space that offers like greater flexibility, lower risk, long-term commitments, as well as these on all-inclusive packages, I personally think that this is likely to increase because there's also the possibility of sharing teams while maintaining like these social distancing measures. And I think like Corona at the end on this pandemic forced every employers and employees alike to get to a term where they have or had and still have to work from home or in other flexible settings. And I think these other flexible settings can be either like sharing an office in AB teams. This could be like a full home office. This could be social distancing, also resulting into these changes of layouts. And I think like this unique situation acted like as a booster for the flex space industry, which has this workspace flexibility in its DNA, as the name is already saying. So the decision makers know now that this works, first of all, and that the employees have been demanding also more flexibility already before Corona, before the pandemic. It is not something new. When we did our last Mindspace survey in 2019, 70%, for example, of the German workforce were asking for more workplace flexibility. So they were already asking for that before even a pandemic happened. Of course, like looking back into 2020, we received fewer inquiries when there was a peak phase in 2020. But in Germany alone, about like close to 90% of our members are companies that, first of all, knew that they would need their offices again in the future. And most of them have been already with us since years. So we also assume that once the rate of the vaccination, let's say in Germany, picks up a little bit on speed, we're pretty like confident that the market will behave in the same way as it did, for example, in Israel. In Israel, I think the vaccination rollout started in Q4 2020. And as soon as the vaccination rollout started, there was an increase of more than 80% in demand, just like of co-working or flex space. And we expect the same for Germany too.
Yeah, I think we're probably in the position where people in home offices are starting to get hungry for experience. And I think the co-working experience has been something people always, or many of them always admired and wanted to be part of. So yeah, that's a good thing for you, I guess. Now, I do know when we had our prep call that you were in one of the co-workings. I don't know if you're right now with the beautiful shelves.
I am.
You are. So I like the shelves. Good design. The question I have there is, how did you manage return to work for your workspaces? Did you put in place certain tools or processes?
Well, the good news is like that the local regulations allow Mindspace workstations and buildings to function as usual. It means like our locations are available and open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And to enable also our members to send their employees back to the office and feeling like safe, we have developed like a global standard. We call it Mindspace Seal. And it also shows which measures we have implemented in each different country. It always also depended what the local requirements and regulations are. Part, for example, I would say of the Mindspace Seal is the various change to our office layouts. So we were sitting together with our design teams thinking about how can we reshape also communal areas, making sure that people have the possibility to have the social distancing and not being like in any overcrowded areas. We introduced new policies and procedures. One little thing is like, but I wouldn't say not to underestimate, no matter in which location in Mindspace you go and no matter in which room you go, you will always find, for example, disinfections. It's everywhere also to make sure, and we provide this to our members to make sure that they can, first of all, have the possibility to act in the way to have their or to have an hygiene environment. We're doing temperature checks if needed. Our employees in Germany are getting tested twice a week, also making sure that, you know, if they interact with customers, that the customers can be sure that our employees get tested. We develop new products, services really tailored to this unique workspace. And part of the other thing what we did is Mindspace is part of it's called Work. So the Global Council of Workplace Operator and Safe Space, where also like these companies meet up and aim to educate also about like safe workplaces and provide information on appropriate measures. And during the lockdown, when it happened, we were sitting together and we're thinking about how can we also make sure to bring the experience for people who are sitting home right now, who are not in the office, making sure that they still have the feeling that they are part of Mindspace. So we developed a digital platform. It's called Virtual. So everything which we were running offline before, we were then running online. So any online activities, information and community resources you can think about, if it's like TED speakers, if it's inspiring lectures, if it's online sports, awareness sessions like yoga or fitness, nutrition courses, we all brought that online to make sure that if the member is not like coming back to the office right now, at least, that we are at least making sure that the experience of Mindspace we're bringing to their homes.
And potentially you could have increased even the Mindspace experience to other locations in the online offering.
Yes. So it's like as a virtual is running like globally. So every, let's say, global or every virtual session we are running, I know we have speakers, like even internal speakers, members from us who are running own lessons. Then they're accessible not just for this building, they're accessible for the whole global Mindspace community.
It's actually quite cool that this is a different level of inclusion across the world. I've heard that from someone else who's an innovation manager as well, said suddenly we could have conversations between London and Israel that didn't happen before.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, where do you see the benefit of a hybrid work model, including co-working spaces for a corporation, over company exclusive sites?
There are like different studies around all of this. I recently read one from Barco. They were like saying that around 85% of all the workforce wants to return to offices and resume like the social aspect working life, but with the freedom of having the flexibility and facilities to adapt to that. I think like this desire of flexibility, as I mentioned before in our like study from 2019, it existed already before, but it has been strengthened flexibility can, of course, not only be used by companies to outsource workplaces, but can also be used to open locations in other cities without incurring huge expenses. So remote work has created problems for employers who are struggling to keep company cultures alive. When I talk like to different, also bigger corporates, they do tell me that it's harder to maintain a company culture if you cannot meet in person with your people, but also to ensure the well-being of their employees who may experience, let's call it working from home burnout, but it also results like in higher attrition rates and employee disengagement. There are like the virtual workspace we all use while working from home isn't, in my opinion, well enough equipped for team brainstorming sessions, kickoff meetings and gatherings, and also definitely not for creative collaborations on any tangible products. So meeting rooms in professional offices surrounding offer a much, much more professional environment for team sessions, from stable internet connections to creative, inspiring workplaces, let's say. And so that's what I would say over the next couple of months, at least, or like at latest, when also countries are reopening again, we will definitely see that there will be a heavy shift from this home working to a hybrid work model.
Where do you think you're making, because you've mentioned it before, nobody wants to go back to a boring office. There's no need for that. If you can choose your home that you've designed to your own liking, where do you think you're making a difference? And to come back to that personal reference, which mind space do you like most and why?
Oh my God, I hope my teams are not like angry when they hear that. If I have to say like, which ones are my favorite, because it's not related even to the teams. I think really the difference, and I can see it, first of all, why people should come back. And I have so many talks like throughout the week with different members when I'm in different locations. They always come and say like, thank you that you're open, that we have a possibility to come, to go out of the home office or go out of home. And it might sound easy, it may sound easy for some people saying like, hey, but working from home, it's a nice thing. And I agree on that. However, as soon as you have a family, as soon as you have kids home, it's not that easy anymore to deal with both aspects at the same time. And also, I think there was a little bit this misunderstanding, as it feels in the beginning, from companies who said like, okay, we allow remote work for life. And then they stepped back and said, but wait, remote, we meant by that, you can work from home. Remote, you cannot leave the country because otherwise, for example, in Germany, we get tax issues. You cannot be away for more than 180 or 183 days. Otherwise, you get taxated in another country, which is not that easy then for companies again, and insurance reasons and all of this kind of things. So I think what we make as a difference and why people should and will come back is like this environment of collaboration. And we see that collaboration increases productivity, and productivity increases at the end outcome for companies. And it's this, we are humans. We are not made for being alone. We are made for socializing, for being together, for talking to each other. And that's always like great via a Zoom call or any other like online medias. But having this in person, I think, makes the difference, not just for Mindspace, for any flex provider in the world. And when looking, what is my favorite location, it's super tricky because honestly speaking, and I mean that I like all of the locations because all of them have something specific. But the Hamburg location is one I really like, to be honest. I love the location. It's an old building. It's super well designed. And that's one where whenever I travel to Hamburg, and I was in Hamburg like just a couple of days ago, I really love this location.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, personal preference for whatever reason. And sometimes you can't really tap your finger on why it is that you choose a certain work environment over another. Yeah. And it might change throughout the seasons. But what I wanted to say, you don't necessarily need to have kids or family at home. I think loneliness, what you mentioned as well, is a huge issue that brings 100%. People to seek the opportunity to meet again as well. Now, for companies, designing the right workspace mix in the future, if they allow for remote work and are expecting people not necessarily to come to the office for focus work, but more for the collaboration, they will rely on data to make decisions for the space offering that they need. Now, the question for you would be, do you have measures in place as well to indicate success of certain workplace offerings? And if yes, do you make that data available to your clients as well so that they could take the insights and consider that in their overall business case?
To answer maybe the last question first, it's always a little bit tricky in Germany with the GDPR to make all data available. So you always need to carefully curate it to make sure that there's like no trouble at the end by making too much information available, specifically when they are collected like in person from people. But what we do, we do track our leads and incoming queries pretty carefully. We are measuring the level of the incoming demand from which type of companies, which products they are asking for most. And on the data side, we are well equipped so that we can predict our occupancy levels. We can measure the lead quality improvements, conversion rates, cost per lead. And further down the funnel, we can follow the entire customer journey through our system. Of course, we can draw conclusions from this data to then also further adapt our business. And in addition to that, we're also constantly in touch with our customers through our community managers. We run 1 to 2 larger internal surveys every year. We have a really good partnership with brokers who are always on top of the market and can give us like the greatest additional insights we need into the real estate market and also the needs of the customers. And in December, I think it was December 2020, we also utilized the input from selected brokers. It was like CBRE, GLL, Knight Frank, and some others. And we created like an ebook with predictions also for the flex space market. So we collected all this information and we share also what we feel is interesting with our customers. Not everything is interesting, not everything they want to hear. So we curate our information to make sure that this is like what our customers also are looking for. And in 2019, there was like the survey I mentioned in the beginning. We were running like a big survey about employee happiness in 7 different countries in Mindspace to identify trends and see how we can adapt them to our spaces. So, for example, I don't know, events for employees, more workplace flexibility. That was one thing I mentioned. And even back then, the respondents indicated that flexibility was always the most important for them. And of course, like, I mean, these are messages we also then want to share with our customers because it's important to know about that people are seeking for flexibility, specifically when you give these informations also to the employers. Of course, we're not telling them like, hey, these and these and these employees from your company answered or were answering like on these questions. It's more about like, look, overall, this is what our Mindspace members are saying. And if more than 80% are saying we're seeking for workplace flexibility, then I do think also employers have to take this serious and making actions out of it.
Do you have the flexibility locally to really adapt to it? Or is there like a global framework that you need to stick to in certain regards for Mindspace?
No, so we always try to, if we adapt like bigger things in our products, to adapt this on a global standard, but there are always things also on a local one, which we have to do depending also on the local requirements. What we, for example, did recently, we launched a new product range. It's called Hybrid. And with Hybrid, we offer a complete new level of flexibility. Yeah, the different offers provide, for example, companies with the opportunity to react completely flexible to the change towards hybrid working models. Hybrid offers or hybrid offices offers the full benefits at the end of a Mindspace membership, full access to meetings, events, common areas, but as well also having an own workspace. This model is suitable for all companies, and we see that the demand is really increasing for this hybrid right now, specifically like for these companies that want to rely on a hybrid office model in the future, and offering also their employees an office closer to their home or to use it as a satellite office, as an example. And then besides that, what we have then too is also we have a MindPass Daily, MindPass Multi, Hoodie, or where we can offer like an on-demand access to the office space. Can be booked like on daily one, can be booked like 4 in a row, can be booked 12 in a row, whatever they need. So we do want and we do adapt our products to the needs. We are listening to our members. We're listening also to the external inquiries which are coming in. And we have companies who are saying like, look, I have 60 employees or I'm looking for like a space for 60 employees. However, they are working in kind of, let's call it shifts. So they might only come 1 or 2 days to the office. So I don't really need 60 desks. To save also some costs on the company side, I would only need 20. How can we make this happen? And this is why we came up also with the hybrid solution, saying like, look, you only rent the space you really need for a price, which is at the end cheaper than renting any traditional offices. And this demand, when we launched this product, I think like a week, 1.5 weeks ago, and we saw from day one that there's like a huge demand for that on the market.
And then you probably, your responsibility is that it ticks off certain business case criteria in the end.
Correct.
Okay, now final two. And this one I like really much, because I'd like to ask if you could magically solve any real estate problem, what would it be?
Oh my God, there are thousands I think we have to solve. That's a good question. I haven't even thought about it. I think if I could solve a real estate problem with a finger snip, it would be one, for example, or I think one problem what we have is this increasing complexity of projects, especially like in the area of district development. This neighborhood development, super complex due to many aspects. It's like the environmental regulations, social, economic conditions, just a few of these factors influencing an environment. I think like that's something where things need to become a little bit easier again, because things are becoming way too complex, but also the design. I think from the beginning on, landlords and also like companies, like a bigger investment in project companies, they need to think about the design and adapting also newly built space in a way that they are able to offer and to adapt to flexible solutions from the beginning. Well, we see this so often that there are buildings who are empty right now, and it will take millions to make a flexible building out of it. It's not just about saying like, I rent an empty office right now and I put some desks in and I call myself a flex provider. That's a little bit too easy. There are like so many data and so many things you have to keep in mind for that. Communal areas, how the offices are shaped, how they are designed, or how do you make sure that people can keep social distancing? How do you make sure they're like, I don't know, we have one building in Berlin, in Friedrichstraße, where we have more than 170 different companies sitting in one building. How can you make sure that they still can be, in a way, let's say, separated, feeling like I have my own office while like interacting with the community? So I think this is important also from the beginning, making sure for these project managers, designing a space which allows to be flexible.
I think my wish, at least for Germany, it would revolve around regulations being more pragmatic, because I think the construction rules and like the neighborhood rules and stuff, they constrict a lot of the good things that could happen with especially vacant spaces. Yes. Okay. But now final one for you. And I think it's an easy one. If you could wish for someone to come on this podcast with me, who would you like to hear? And would you have a question for him or her?
Oh, wow. I listened to some of your podcasts, and I have to say, like, you have always so many interesting people joining them. So it's no matter from which industry they are coming from, it's always like a pleasure listening to also to their insights. I think I would relate it more to an industry, because there are like companies, so tons of companies out there with hundreds of thousands of real estate footage. And it would be interesting also to hear how they prepare their own portfolio to become more flexible. Some companies want to give up leases, other needs to take on new leases. And I think it's at the end and simple game, and the office is here to stay. So for example, a landlord perspective on this would also be like pretty valuable to see how they feel about, how they think about all of this, what's going on in the market, how they become more flexible and adapting. So kind of like someone from this industry or from this area would be super interesting to listen to.
Yeah, I'm really dire to find someone from the landlord side to talk to me as well. So if one of your landlords would be willing, refer them to me.
We can check if we can make that happen.
Sure. So thank you very much, Oliver. I enjoyed this conversation. I had some great insights for me, being new to the backstage of co-working.
Thank you, Sabine.
Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We have just released a study on corporate real estate in Europe that you can download. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.